Israel is a nation because of God, right? All right. God has been good to Israel. He has brought them out of Egypt, miraculously brought them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness, provided them with manna every day for them to eat. What a God, huh? This God provided the children of Israel with manna so that while they were on their journey, they never had to worry about food. Now, manna is actually defined. When you look and search for the word manna itself actually means, what is this? The reason why it's important for me to draw this home for you, because you got to understand, God fed Israel with something that they had never seen before. They didn't know what it was. They ate it, but they couldn't even define what it was. So they called it manna, which actually means, what is this? Now, why would God give Israel, or why would God feed Israel with something that they didn't even know what it was? I believe the reason why they did it is because if he had sent them bread, if he had sent them a ram, if he had sent them something that they had recognized, they would have found a way to make it sound like they'd done it themselves. So God sent them something that was unfamiliar just to let them know that the only reason why you are surviving right now is because of me. And I want you to understand that, because sometimes we get like the children of Israel. Sometimes we see the things that are going on in our life, and if we're not careful, we'll start to thank ourselves for the things that God has provided. But he says that he provided manna for them. He even gave them laws. And God gave them laws for a healthy, long life. All right? So, and then we know God drove out their enemies. And he did everything he could and made sure that they actually made it to the land that Abraham promised them, that he promised Abraham. So when God and when the people of God made it to Canaan, there was a general excitement about God. They didn't need to be revived when they got there, because they were already excited because God had brought them through things that they could not bring themselves through. Anybody ever been in a situation where you found yourself and you didn't know how in the world you got through it, but when you got through it, you were so excited, you just had to thank God? Am I the only one that been that way? Because God has done some things for both you and me that you can't define. God has brought you out some situations that you had no idea how you were going to get out of. You walked into the month with no money, didn't know how you were going to eat, didn't know how you were going to put gas in your car, and somehow you got to the next month, and you look back over, you can't think of what you did differently, but God just provided. And usually, right after God provides for us, especially when he brings us through a wilderness, usually we are at the height of our excitement. The problem with the children of Israel is that over time, their excitement began to drift. And they began to act like people that were not people of God. Their prosperity, the pleasures, the houses, all the things that they had, they began to start to enjoy those things more than God. And what you see is that every time they begin to drift, and I'm going to get where y'all want me to be in a little bit, every time they begin to drift, God sent a messenger. And he sent a prophet. And each time, if they didn't respond, God's messages got a little bit more harsh. God continued to tell them, look, you're going to have to do what I say do, or there are going to be problems. God exiled them, brought them back, exiled them, brought them back. You understand? God just, but they still couldn't hold on to God's word long. So the question is, what was it that they began to do? So look at the first three verses, and I want you to see the kind of attitude that they had. Amos calls them the cows of Bashan, and he's speaking about a wealthy group of Samaritan women who are taking from the poor for their own well-being. The Bible says that they are oppressing the poor, they're striking the needy, and they are asking their husbands, get us, do whatever you have to do to get us whatever it is that we need, because you do whatever, we need you to continue to do whatever you have to do to make sure that we have a good, high quality, extra, worthless life. The Bible says, he said, y'all do, see them take advantage of the poor, just make sure you keep on bringing us drinks so we can stay drunk. Y'all follow me? They had done, they were just flat out wrong. And not only were they wrong, they engaged their husbands. Their husbands were equally wrong because they were responsible for taking advantage of the people so that their wives can have what they want. Listen, men. Y'all in here? Men, never dishonor God for your wife. Now, a lady said, we ain't asking him to dishonor. Wait. There will be times where you will be faced with some opportunities to be immoral, some opportunities to do things that you might not should do because you want to be a better provider. Y'all follow me? But what I'm telling you is you got to fight against that. Don't ever do anything. Don't ever compromise yourself in order to provide for anyone, not your wife or your family. Y'all looking at me funny. Okay, look. I don't know why y'all do that. Listen, you're going to, men and women too, but I'm talking to men right now. There will be times in your life where you can make a decision that will promote you. But it's wrong. And you will be faced with that decision. If I do this, I can provide better for my wife. I can do better for my family. I can get a little bit more money. I can do all of these things a little bit better if I just tell that lie. If I just mistreat that person. If I just fire that man. Never put yourself in a situation where you compromise what God has called you to be to provide. Why not, Darwin? Because God is the provider. You can't mistreat God and then expect for him to give you what you did, what you wanted, what you mistreated him for to get. Oh, y'all hard this morning. But then we get into verse 4. And I want you to watch this. I want you to watch it. Brother Jones, give verse 4 for me. And I want you to look at what the Bible says. The King James Version says, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply your transgressions and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after three years. Listen to this. Amos is telling the people, go where the temple is. Go to Bethel. Go to Gilgal. And when you get there, go ahead and sin. Now, if you're not careful, you'll look and say, what kind of prophet is Amos? Why in the world would Amos be sending people out to go to the temple and to sin? But when you look at the language, what you realize is Amos is actually speaking sarcastically. What Amos is saying is, y'all go over there to the house, to the temple. Y'all go over there and do all the things that you do and sin. Why is he saying that? Because when you go over there and do all the things that you're doing, you sin it anyway. Because you're not doing it in a way that's pleasing to God. Y'all not hearing me? What Amos is saying is that you can go to the church house and be sinning. I'm going to park right there for a second. Because Amos, the first thing that Amos is dealing with is the heart of the people. He's saying, just because you're in God's house does not mean that you are pleasing God. He said, go on and go to Bethel. Go on and go to Gilgal and go ahead and sin. When you get to Gilgal, multiply your sins. What he's telling them is, go in there, do what y'all been doing, walk in the temple, walk like you've been doing, you're doing right, do all the things that look good and sound good, and don't be pleasing to God, because that's what you're doing anyway. Listen, here's the application. Church, we got to be careful when we walk into God's house. Make sure that our heart and our mind is right, because we can actually come to God's house and be just like we're not here because we're sinning in his presence. I need you to understand that. And then he goes along and says, bring money. He said, bring your money, bring your offering, bring your sacrifice. So what are you saying? Why is he saying that? Their problem is not that they're not following the rituals. Y'all didn't hear me. The problem with the children of Israel that Amos is directing is not that they're not following the rituals of God. They are bringing their offering. They are making their sacrifice. They are doing the things that are supposed to be done in the temple. But they still are not connecting with God. Y'all missing it, or maybe you're getting it, that's why you're quiet. You can come in here, sing your three songs, have a prayer, read a scripture, take communion, listen to the lesson, put your money in an offering, sing another song, have a closing prayer. You can follow all of what we call the acts of worship and not be pleasing God. Be careful where your heart and your mind is when you walk into God's house, because you, just because it looks good, just because it sounds good, just because everybody else around you is fooled, does not mean that God is pleased. I believe in my heart of hearts, the reason why we struggle as a body of Christ is because too many of us just look like Christians. We just look like Christians. I'm talking about we look good. We know scripture. We can quote it back and forth. You know, guys, you can know scripture and not know the Lord. The problem with the children of Israel in this situation that Amos is addressing right now is that they are playing like they're worth something. They're playing like they're doing what God wants them to do. But they're actually not pleasing God. That is, Brother Jones says it, and that's true. Tragic. It's tragic that we can spend our whole life in church and be disconnected from God. We can actually even do some things. In Matthew 6, it talks about when you give to the poor. We always do verse 5 through 13, I think it is, when we listen to the Lord's Prayer. But before that, God, it always said, you know, when you give to the poor, make sure that you're giving it to the poor because you want to give to the poor, not because you want somebody to see you give to the poor. We some good-looking, fraudulent Christians. And I want you to know God ain't fooled. And Matthew talks about the sound of the trumpets. And most theologians say that what he's talking about, that what he's actually doing is saying when they would put their money in, they would put their money into the tray, the gold and their silver, and they would put it in hard. So the people would know they just gave something. Y'all know how we do that? How we go and help people. And before we can help them good, we already put it on Facebook. Before we can help them good, we've already done everything so the people will know that we the people that help people. If you the people that help people, and you want everybody to know the people that you the people that help, chances are you probably ain't helping people for the right reason. Because the Bible says, God who sees in secret will reward openly. Anybody ever wonder why you ain't getting no reward? Maybe it's because your motives are wrong. Just saying, have 120 ministries, nobody get helped, but it looked good online. going to leave y'all alone. Get back to the text. So here we go. So then he says, Amos is saying to them, be careful when your whole life is rhetoric. Because God actually rewards righteousness. Yeah, y'all still here. That's all right. And then here's your point. Here goes the point. If you want to write it down, I'm going to put your point. Corrects actions with improper motives still don't please God. Amen. Write that down, y'all. Somebody need that in their notes. Correct actions with improper motives are not pleasing to God. Amen. I need you to understand that. If you're helping people and you're only doing it because you want people to see you help people, be careful. Many times we look right, sound right, do all the things, but we ain't doing anything. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I just left the crusade for Christ. And guess what I know? Some of the stuff that was going on, people were just doing because they wanted somebody to see them doing it. Now, I know we can say amen to that because that's the crusade for Christ. I go to the Heart Street Church of Christ. Some of the stuff that we do because we want somebody to know that we did it. Not because we're really trying to save people for God. Check your motives. Are you righteous or are you full of rhetoric? God's not fooled. So they abused worship. And then let's get into verse 6. And then God begins to give them a list of warnings. He says, I did all of these things for you. See, y'all wasn't pleasing me. So then I started to do some stuff. He said in verse 6, he says, and I also give you the cleansing of your teeth in all your cities, and you want want of bread in all your places, but you didn't return. I withheld rain, you didn't return. I caused your stuff to mildew, your gardens to mildew, your vineyard, you didn't return. Locusts ate your trees, locusts ate your olive trees, and you didn't return. What are you saying, Darwin? Sometimes we look at the things that are going wrong in our life, and we're waiting on God to deliver us. Wait a minute, though. I got to get close to you. And we're waiting on God to deliver us. Could it be that your deliverance is within yourself? Could it be that God has sent some things your way that's turning you upside down? Get your attention and turn back towards Him. We hear all the time, the leaders will tell you, people call, in the church, out of church, all those things. And they will tell us, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Help me with this. I can't get enough of that. I'm struggling with this. I can't get my rent. I can't do this. I can't do all those types of things. And 99% of the time, tell me if I'm wrong, Brother Solomon, we jump to help. Am I right? What if the reason why your life it's upside down is because God is telling you, get away from that mess and turn away to me. Sometimes what God wants to turn you around is for you to first turn around. He goes to this and he says, I've done all of these things I've sent your way. I allowed your fig trees to die. I did all these things for one reason and one reason only, for you to turn to me. See, we get too happy. We get too involved in our cush life. Y'all say, I ain't got nothing. No. Relatively, regardless of who you are, if you sit in this building right now, you got a cush life. Now, some of our lives are a little bit more cushy than others. But when you think about those people who are out on the street, those people who don't have a roof over their head, those people in other countries that get persecuted for even calling out God's name, and you think about yourself, your life is pretty charmed. And we complain about all the things that are going on in our life. And I just believe that sometimes the reason why we go through what we go through is because we are not pleasing God. And God is sending that stuff your way so you will turn around and do what he says do. My children don't act right. Turn to God. Could it be that your life is the reason why your life is the way it is? I know we don't like these kind of sermons. We don't like kind of sermons when people just tell the flat out truth. The truth is that sometimes you are your problem. Let that sit. Sometimes the reason why you in the mess that you in is because you the mess. Matter of fact, if you leave the mess is gone. You're not actually in a mess. You are the mess. And we walk around here and ask for things and want things to turn around in our life. Can't figure out why we're struggling. Can't figure out why we can't get our bills paid. Can't figure out why we struggling with our health. Can't figure out why all these things are going wrong with us. And Amos says that God sent all of those things and God said, but you still wouldn't turn to me. All I needed you to do was repent. The way that the scripture is written is that if they had turned to God earlier, some of the stuff that they went through, they wouldn't have went through. And then he says something that you got to be careful with. Verse 12, he said, Israel, I'm about to do something. I didn't send down a lot of stuff your direction. And y'all ain't quite got it yet. But I'm about to do something now. And all you need to do now is prepare to meet thy God. What is he saying? All of the grace, all of the mercy, all the opportunities that I done given you is in run out. Now it's your time. Now to only prepare, because here I come. Some of y'all saying, Bro Mason, you trying to scare us. Yep. Fear ain't the only motivator, but it is a motivator. If you acted a fool, if your life is not in the right way, if God has sent some things to turn you around and you won't turn around, the only thing that's left is God is going to say, prepare to meet my God. Prepare to meet me. What does that mean? Okay, let me help you. There was times when I had chores to do at the house. I'm trying to make it plain. It's time I had chores. To me at the house, and I wouldn't do them. And my mother would say things like, clean up your room, take out the trash. I say, okay, I do it. Then I get tired, oh, I do it tomorrow. Then the next day, maybe I do it. And she would keep on saying that, Darwin, I'm gonna take away your game. You're not gonna go to this, you're not gonna do that. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then there came a time where all the stuff that she promised to do, take away, she did. And the only thing that was left and what she was saying to me is, prepare. All the stuff is over. I tried my best. Now you got to get it this way. What are you saying, Darwin? God is trying to turn you around. But if you don't turn around, all he's going to do is get you. I love heaven, but guess what? Hell is equally real. Keep on acting a fool on God if you want to. Keep on playing like you're righteous when it's all rhetoric. Guess what's going to happen? Prepare to meet thy God. I'm sick of us walking around here faking like we love God, acting like we're doing right by him, doing all those things, misinterpreting the things that are going on in our life, playing the victim. That's what we do. We play the victim. way too much. We act like the reason why we struggling, what we struggling with, is somebody that mistreated us. No, sometimes it's you. And what God is telling you is that when it's you, and I try to turn around, you're going to meet me one day. And when you meet me on the other side, all the stuff that I did on this side is null and void. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 31 said, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Amen. Keep on acting like you Christian. Keep on acting like you love God. Keep on acting like you participate in ministry. Keep on acting like you're living the right life when everybody knows that you don't. Prepare to meet that God. Keep on mistreating your wife. Keep on abusing your kids. Keep on lying at work. Keep on cussing everybody out. Keep on doing up. Prepare to meet that God. Amen. Keep on stealing the money. Keep on cheating on your time sheet. Keep on acting like you're studying your Bible when you really just cut the TV on and open it up to fool somebody. Prepare to meet that God. Your life is all in a mess. Maybe it's your fault. Turn around. Listen to his call or prepare to meet that God. I am afraid that a lot of us that have been talking about all the things that we're doing right gonna walk up to judgment. God's response gonna be exactly what we want it to be. And it's not gonna be because we didn't look good. Because we're going to look just like the children of Israel. We're going to have done all the acts. We're going to put on all the pretty clothes. We're going to look good on the outside. But when Jesus comes and when we see God, he won't be fooled. And I believe he's going to go down his book of life and he's going to say, Remember when I gave you grace, I gave you mercy, I tried to turn you upside down and everything, and you kept on doing it your way. So now, it's on you. Y'all saying that can't, children of Israel, that ain't, that's okay. All right, that's Old Testament, okay. Well, let's go to Matthew's when he said, Lord, didn't we call out, didn't we raise our demons in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? And God looked at him and said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Who was he talking to? That wasn't the children of Israel. Those are people that call themselves acting like they was doing what God wanted, and they end up and disappoint them anyway. Right. Amen. I just hate for any of us to hear, depart from me. Amen. I just hate it. But the truth of the matter is, we don't get real serious about our faith if we don't really become what God wants us to become. Those will be the words that we hear. You say, I'm not judging you. Because I guess what? I got to work on me too. I don't want you to go around for the rest of the day with your head down feeling bad. I want you to reflect right now and turn away from sin now. I ain't trying to beat you up. I don't want you to be afraid. Yes, I do. I want you to be afraid of hellfire. Y'all, that's a long time. A long time, my grandma and my aunt and my cousin are all here today. My grandma, and they said my grandma was a quick one. They used to have to pick cotton out in the field. See, she laughing because she know where I'm getting ready to go. They used to have to pick cotton out in the field. And my grandmama would, fake sick. Too hot. She figured out a way to get in the house. But the rest of our brothers and sisters had to stay outside in that Mississippi heat and pick cotton. Some tell the story, especially my Uncle Sal. He said, oh, grace wasn't no good. It was hot out there. We was out there all day long picking and working, and it was hot. And I want to tell you, yeah, Mississippi is hot, but not as hot as hell. Stop playing games. Do what God really wants you to do. I know this ain't a normal Brother Mason sermon, but I wouldn't be a minute worth my salt if I didn't tell you the truth. But know this, I'm telling you the truth out of pure love. If you need help getting it right, let's do that. Some of you saying, well, wait a minute, I ain't even a member of the body of Christ. Oh, look, I got the best news you ever hear. God came down to earth. When he came down to earth, he lived perfectly. He performed miracles on the world. He did everything right. And then, even though he had nothing wrong with him, they crucified him. They didn't crucify him for what he done. He died for what you do. And what you already did. And what you will do. And then he got up. And when he got up with grace and mercy and love. And he got up as our ambassador. So that when we struggle, we can come to him, call on his name, and he can talk to God on our behalf and cleanse us of the things that we go through. Some of you say, I don't want to, if they acting like that, no, listen, that's the best story ever. Because if you're outside of God, you don't have access to that cleansing. Well, you say, okay, well, now that changes. Well, how do I get into God? All right, you heard the word. What's the word? I just told you. Believe it. Repent. What does repent mean? Turn away from yourself and turn towards God. Confess. Confess what? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the easiest confession you ever make in your life. Be baptized. What that water gonna do? God said do it. I took a bath this morning. It's a different kind of cleansing. And arise to walk a new life. That's the gospel story. That's what, if you're not a Christian, you need to do. If you are a Christian, you just ain't been doing what God asked you to do, then you need to come forward. Ask us to pray for you. Repent of your sin. Let's pray together so that when the last days come and it's time to meet God in judgment, you won't have trepidation and fear. You won't be afraid to meet that God. Some people here prepare to meet that God and they get happy in their soul. Others got worried. Some of them are terrified. If you worry because you're not sure, or you terrified because you know you didn't messed up, this is your time to come. Go ahead and stand. Stand for the invitation. God is waiting and ready to help you. He will do everything he can to make sure you see his Father. But you just got to come to the Father. You got to come to the Father. Look at your books, page 633. 633. Is the song that I want to do for invitation. And I think it's right up the alley of the message. Careless soul, why do you linger, wandering from the throne of life? Hear you now the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Oh, careless soul, oh, heed thy warning. For your life will soon be gone. Come on down. Oh, to face thy judgment, I'm prepared to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Oh, careless soul, oh, heed thy warning. Come on down. Don't play no more. For your, don't play with God. Come down and let him help you. Oh, how sad to face thy judgment, I'm prepared to meet thy God. listen, some of us are in here right now, and we know that how we were yesterday and the day before and the week before was not pleasing to God. And the devil is dependent on you to stay right there in your seat. He's dependent on you to walk out of here still looking like the children of Israel looked in verse 4, but be disconnected to God. Don't let that happen. Don't worry about how you look right now. I'd rather you look at me right now and see me repent and see me work to get my life right than to look at me when I'm in front of all of humanity and God tell me to depart. Time is of the essence. You might not get another chance. You might not have another opportunity to get it right with God. There are some people that are not here today that were here yesterday. There are some people that are not here now that were here 2 seconds ago. What I need you to understand is it doesn't make any sense for you to carry the same baggage home that you came in here with. When God is willing and able and wanting to remove your baggage. If I walked in here right now with a pew on my shoulder and Eric said, let me help you, I would move so quick to get some help. And you got all of your sins on you. And all God said is just, give it to me. Come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, for ye shall find rest unto your soul. Let God take that mess off of you. Don't keep that mess. What mess you talking about? I don't know. You know.